There are so many issues throughout all levels of government that smart Christians need to view it as a way to care for our neighbor by making good decisions.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation with her husband, Mark, at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The federal government has gotten much more involved in family formation or family destruction, abortion, other issues. And there are so many ways in which it's important for us to think about how we can defend the weak and vulnerable among us by making good decisions.
You can watch journalists Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at this year's Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes the ability to watch a live stream and a recording. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Marriage is a social justice issue for children. And if we are not doing marriage, if we're not encouraging men to commit to the women they're making babies with, regardless of their race, our society is doomed.
Giving cross-sex hormones to a patient with gender dysphoria and referring them for plastic surgery to alter their sex organs is the same as giving a patient with anorexia nervosa a strict diet and referring her for stomach stapling.
We should not revert to the old creation as Christians when dealing with race and racism, but let's live within the new creation that God has given as a gift to us through Christ.
And just as any little child crawls into the lap of its father to show where his hurts are or to list his complaints, that's what our Lord invites us to do.
Summer Greek students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, love listening to Issues Etc. while studying Greek.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, beta, eta, theta.
Pastors are supposed to call their people out. They're supposed to, from God's word, from Scripture, name real sins and call their people to repent of those sins. And to pronounce the forgiveness of those sins, real sins that people really commit. But what if the sins are made up, or what if they are applied in such a way, like the sin of racism? No doubt it is a sin. What if it's applied in such a way that people are being asked, in essence, to repent of a sin that they haven't committed, or that is a systemic problem? How do you repent of a systemic sin when the sin is somehow baked into the cake of the system? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, June the 29th. We're going to be talking about woke pastors. Jason Matera will join us a little bit later. The Supreme Court has struck down a Louisiana law requiring abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges. James Bopp Jr., legal counsel for National Right to Life, will join us to talk about it. Then we'll be talking about a federal judge requiring New York leaders to treat religious restrictions equally, in particular Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo, the mayor of New York and the governor of New York, very unevenly handled religious restrictions in the city and in the state. Joining us to talk about woke pastors on this Monday afternoon, Jason Matera. He's a journalist for the Emmy Award-winning TV show Crime Watch Daily, author of several books, including Crapitalism and Hollywood Hypocrites, and a recent column for American Thinker titled God Save Us from the Woke Pastor. Jason, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
People hear this term woke all the time, but someone might say, what exactly does it mean?
That's a great question. I remember the first time I heard it, and I was taken aback. I thought the person just forgot to add a word in their sentence, but then I had to look it up myself many years ago. Essentially, it's someone who becomes enlightened to the political idea that America is a place that victimizes and oppresses minorities in particular. So if you are brown or black or gay or trans, then you are in the oppressed category, and people need to become woke. They need to have their eyes enlightened, so to speak, to the tragedy that befalls them every day in the United States of America.
So it's not just the notion of kind of being tolerant, it has a bigger framework of the way it understands America, American institutions, even institutions like the church.
Oh, absolutely. It's an easy way to define a worldview. So if someone, and the people who are woke, now it's used in a sarcastic way to show how foolish people are, but those who have this frame of mind, yes, it's an actual worldview, a lens by which they see things in America, and they don't see America fundamentally as a land of opportunity, a place of prosperity and religious tolerance and free speech and free association. They see a place, they would say, built on slavery that's been oppressing people for 400 years, and it needs to, the institutions are irredeemably rotten, and they need to come down. And we're seeing that, by the way, that worldview played out now, Todd, as I know you understand, with all the toppling of statues and the calls to disrupt fundamentally the Western ethos of America.
So how has this woke mentality found its way even into the church, even into the ranks of pastors?
Yeah, and it has, unfortunately. I'm saddened and both angered by it, where you have many pastors. You noted an article I wrote for the American Thinker, and while I focus on two pastors in particular who are on big mega churches on opposite ends of the country, I think it exemplifies, it's not just them, it exemplifies this mentality where you have young leaders today, people who are millennials and trying to be cool and render Christianity cool to the unchurched. They don't engage with culture. They're now engaged to culture. It's almost like a marital ceremony. So rather than standing athwart and speaking truth prophetically to culture with areas where we need to grow and calling out specific injustices and specific sins, what they'll do is they sort of go along with the flow. So you have many church leaders now who will endorse Black Lives Matter, which is a virulently anti-Christian organization and has in their mission statement is to, according to their own words, to rip apart the Western prescribed nuclear family, which an aim that became very clear with the recent Black Trans Live March in Brooklyn, New York, that happened 2 weeks ago. And you have these Christian leaders that will proclaim Black Lives Matter. There was one leader I profiled up in the Seattle area where I live, as you know, 10,000 people go to his church. And he was discouraging his congregation from praying for police officers and business owners and for saying all lives matter. Because according to this leader, Judah Smith, he said all lives matter should not be said, and we shouldn't be praying for police officers and business owners until we come to the proposition that Black lives matter. So they sort of engage in these culturally approved, politically expedient talking points, and they will not. And because they do that, this is my fundamental problem with this. Because they do that, they get like media praise. They get the likes on social media. They have the A-list celebrities who go to their church. Oh, these are cool Christians. They're like speaking truth to culture, and it's the exact opposite. Is they're going with the culture, and when it comes to issues that I would say the Bible is very clear on, issues related to gender, marriage, to life, they remain silent, and for that reason, I think they're moral cowards.
Is this part of a bigger trend, kind of among the too hip for school wing of American evangelicalism? They've been going along with culture for a long time. It sounds like this woke movement that they've decided to jump on is just another one of those cultural trends they've decided to follow.
I think it's a little worse, unfortunately. I mean, I think it's one thing if your pastor is wearing jeans on a Sunday, or you know, he looks like, you know, he's fashionable. I mean, I don't necessarily care about that. I want to know is he a good leader? He's preaching the word of God. He, you know, is he anointed to do what he's doing? Stuff like that matters. But in the end, I wouldn't care what the person was wearing necessarily. But now it's moved into we have to be like, you see that same type of pastor now is in a lockstep with the narrative of the day, the progressive dogmas of the day. So they're quick to carry water for Black Lives Matter. They're quick to just accept the proposition that police have an open season on Black Americans, and statistically it's not even true. You'll never hear them talk about all the, you know, the Black lives that are destroyed in urban areas because of a result of the breakdown of the family and high crime. So they're very choosy and selective in the outrages and the moments they glom onto. I mean, no one, what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis, there's no one I've talked to or heard defend this police officer. It was universal condemnation right away. But what the woke pastor does is uses what happened to George Floyd as a representation of what it means to be a minority in America, representation of what it is to be a cop in America. And I not only do I think that's unfair, but it's going along with what the culture is trying to push today. Yet that same pastor will remain silent on say, abortion. In fact, one of the other pastors I profiled, a guy by the name of Carl Lenz, he's a pastor at Hillsong in New York City, and he was asked by CNN late last year directly if he would ever have a change of heart on issues related to abortion and same-sex marriage. And his response was, in his own words, he says, anything's possible. Anything's possible. So I would be more willing to allow these guys to speak their mind on, say, Black Lives Matter if I knew they were, like, actually standing up for clear-cut issues in the Bible. But the fact that they minimize and dismiss, I would say, very important core issues of Scripture just so they can fit with the cool crowd, I think they need to be called out on it.
You make a point about Judah Smith, the one pastor you mentioned a moment ago, that he even has brought this into the training of his staff. He wants to kind of root out these unacknowledged incidents or ideas of racism in his own church staff.
Yeah, one of the big rages today in the social justice discipleship classes, if you can call it, is anti-bias training, unconscious bias, which, you know, fundamentally, we all have an unconscious bias. Like we have a worldview, right? And we filter that in our experiences as a child and on up, help us navigate the world. So it's not, in that sense, it's not controversial, but it's applied specifically to denigrate white people, that white people in particular are like racists on the inside, and they need the deprogramming from these anti-bias lectures and training seminars, these diversity training seminars, so they can rid themselves of this unconscious bias. And usually it means acknowledging you have white privilege in society. And so Judah Smith, that his church is called Church Home in Seattle, and he has now anti-bias training for his entire staff. And it's like a tacit acknowledgement that you have some type of hidden bigotry that needs to be purged. And I think that is personally offensive, because we're not treating people as individuals. You're just like lumping all white people together. You're lumping all Black people together, all brown people together, and you're imposing upon them an experience, knowing nothing about them, their values, their upbringing, their likes, their passions, and you're just assuming a narrative about them solely based on their skin color. And that's a complete repudiation of the civil rights movement, but that's where we find ourselves in today. For all the hard work of the past 5-6 decades of actually tearing down structural racism, actually tearing down systemic racism, now it's being used to identify people based on their race and to assume an experience and foist an experience upon them, not knowing anything about them as individuals.
You also mentioned Carl Lentz there of Hillsong in New York City, and the fact that he had kind of taken on a new preaching of the atonement based upon a woke framework.
Yeah, that's right. He was interviewing, it was last week or the week before, a famous preacher out of Dallas, T.D. Jakes, who happens to be Black and is an incredible preacher. And he brought T.D. Jakes on to ask for tips, what white people can do to atone for the past. And Carl Lentz was asking, or saying that white people may have white, his own congregation. I was speaking about his congregation, which, you know, if I went to the church and I'm watching this, I'd be like, what? You know, I'm not, I mean, I'm Puerto Rican myself, but, you know, if I was a white person there, this guy's just assuming I have some type of hidden bigotry. And, but that's what he was doing. He was saying that his congregation may have embedded racism from the past, and they want to know what they can do to address this embedded racism and anything other than acknowledging that they have privilege and they have a favored status in America is tantamount to racial behavior modification. And that itself is still racist. And to me, it was no longer a discussion in church out of all places about what the Bible says on these issues, because we know, I mean, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you know racism is endemic to humanity. You can be black and be racist. You can be Puerto Rican and be racist. You can be Asian and be racist, right? It's just part of who we are. And in that respect, yeah, there's people should do some introspection, but it was not presented that way. It was that if you're in this category, you're probably a racist. And if you're in this category, probably not, and you need to, you know, the other category needs to atone for something that they've never done. And it becomes an absurd exercise that does nothing to get down to the root of uplifting black Americans. It gets down nothing to addressing where racism might surface. And one of the ridiculous exercises Carol Lentz mentioned with his interview with T.D. Jakes is his daughter is, and I kid you not, you know, people can go to the article and see where it is and click on my my hyperlink. But he was bragging that his daughter was watching Home Alone recently and said, "Daddy, why is this called an American classic? There is no black actors. Shouldn't it be called a white classic instead?" And he got up and he's like clapping his hand. He's like, "You're exactly right, honey. It should be called a white classic." And now his daughter's admonishing other students in school about how they shouldn't watch this white classic. And like, again, this is the exact opposite of the civil rights movement. Like, we're not supposed to be there bean counting and doing diversity headcounts for movies. Is it a good movie? Is the storyline good? Is the acting good? Does it have a good message? Is it family friendly? Like, these are questions that you should be asking. And quite frankly, whether it's Home Alone or he wants to pick up any of Tyler Perry's Madea movies, I used to watch these with my little sisters all the time because they were funny and they were family friendly. And I don't remember a white person that they featured, but I wasn't looking at it through like, oh my goodness, I have to look, you know, I have to watch people who look like me. No, it was like, is this a good movie? Does this have a good set of values that it conveys? And is it entertaining? And unfortunately, we're not getting that type of message. And at all places, it's now permeated the church.
Finally, you say that if these woke pastors want to have a real uncomfortable conversation, what would they do?
If you want to talk about racism, I would mention how there is a genocide of black babies happening every day. Nearly 250 black babies are executed inside the womb. Planned Parenthood was set up by a eugenicist, Margaret Sanger, who actually viewed eugenics, right, sterilizing people, as the way to mend racial tension in America. I think that is actually an example of systemic racism, and black babies are aborted disproportionately higher than white babies. I would have a conversation on why is there a heavy police presence in minority neighborhoods? It's very simply because there's a higher presence of crime. Why is there a higher presence of crime? Well, because we have a breakdown of the family in many of these communities where you have anywhere from 70 to 80% of black children today are born to a single parent mother. When a father is absent, there's whether it's white or black, it doesn't really matter. When the father is not present, there are so many socioeconomic disparities and disparities for that child. One is a life that may likely lead to crime. So I'm all for having tough conversations, but let's have the tough conversations. Let's get down to the root issue rather than just accepting and regurgitating what our culture is telling us.
Jason Matera is a journalist for the Emmy Award-winning TV show Crime Watch Daily. He's author of several books, including Capitalism and Hollywood Hypocrites, and a recent column for American Thinker titled God Save Us from the Woke Pastor. You'll find a link to this column on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Jason, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire will be making the case against woke ideology at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. You won't be able to attend in person, but you can watch live and on demand. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the Supreme Court striking down a Louisiana law requiring abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges. James Boak Jr., General Counsel for National Right to Life, will be our guest.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/witness.